This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter, and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
I really like going above like the car doors, not car doors, but like halfway the car doors. So, but then in certain parts, there's just
are they toy cars, Steve? You're looking at?
Yep. The kids' cars.
Yep. Okay.
That's Pete and Steve talking about the weather.
End of the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, Weekend Podcast. It's me, yeah. Justin, Pete and Steve there, chatting about the weather. Hey, guys, nothing more British than that, is it, guys?
Yeah. Guys, we're just talking about the weather, snowing and stuff, isn't it, Dave?
How many feet you got, Steve?
Three foot.
You got three feet. How do you buy shoes? But do you know how you buy shoes? You buy six pairs, see? And then you got two sets, yeah? You got 3 feet. Yeah. There's your math for you. But you got 3 foot, Steve. Yeah, we got about 4 foot here. Pete, what you got?
About just over five.
Oh, no, in fact, just looking now, it's really snowy here. So it's 6 foot here, yeah. It's getting really deep now. I tell you, I was out this morning. It's a Friday we recorded this on, by the way, and I've just been listening to Theresa May's Brexit speech, but we've interrupted that because this is more important, obviously, the Weekend Podcast. But I was with a hairdryer or on a ladder, going up and down the pipe, the condenser pipe on the side of my house this morning for half an hour.
Any reason for that?
It's a hobby. You've got to have a hobby, see, Pete. You've got to have a hobby. And it's a niche hobby, I'm aware, but I'm hoping to bring it to a wider audience, you know? But,
it's like pipe smoking, burning.
I actually broke the bottom of the pipe off. It's a white pipe that comes from the attic, from the boiler, straight down. It's obviously liquid, obviously, water comes to it, but it's frozen solid. And it wouldn't let the boiler work. So I just went on Twitter. The guys, thanks Spud the Plumber and several other people who give me advice. I said, I had the same problem myself. So I was just doing that with the hairdryer up in Delagamania. And
how cold is your house for it to freeze in the pipes in the house?
It's not in the house. It's outside. Outside. You listen, Steve. Listen to the words I'm saying. Outside.
Why did you put it outside? Why did you build it into the house?
It's a
condenser
when I had
pipe.
My boiler installed, I actually paid extra to have my pipes on the inside. So there we go.
All
it's
the pipes
now.
All the pipes are, apart from the condenser pipe, which goes outside. It's a bit of water. It's overflow water goes into the drain. So you've got to have it. You go outside, really. Yeah. But anyway, columns of ice.
My boiler had it tapped into the sink. Paid extra for that. Look at who's laughing now.
Who is laughing?
Me.
You're not actually here.
Inside, I'm hysterically laughing.
You sound like you are. It's amazing how flat your voice sounds because you're just laughing hysterically on the outside, on the inside,
yep.
I mean.
Yeah.
But anyway, and also I did the old abandon the car. My car is like 2 miles down the road. I went to the doctor, got my shoulder, came back. It was chaos. I wasn't travelling anywhere. So I just pulled over, walked home. And, I tell you what, that beast from the east, and he's now doing dalliance with Emma Watson or the... was this Storm Emma? Yeah.
That's it. Well, yeah.
Well, no, I say that because I got confused in my head. I posted a picture of Beauty and the Beast, the film, and Emma Watson's in that, isn't she? She dances with the Beast. So I posted that picture. So clever
she
one.
She does
there.
More than that.
Storm Emma. Yeah, so that's... So talking about Brexit, but yeah, something else, we'll move on to something even more. Two bits of fascinating news, even me today. But... So I did a little survey. Pete got involved in it as well. I said this on Twitter. I voted for Brexit and haven't changed my mind. I haven't. But If the final outcome of the discussions result in something different to what we originally envisaged, should we hold another Brexit referendum? And the results so far today, so 370-odd votes, 53% say yes, have another referendum, 47% say no, which is very, very close to the actual referendum results, but the other way around.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, interesting. What does that tell us?
That tells us, let me just crack on with it. No, the thing is, I said that because there's a lot of unhappy people, almost half the population are unhappy about it, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I like people being happy, essentially. And I mean, should we do it all again then, or once a week or something like that, you know?
But don't you think, it's very interesting, isn't it? It's probably some people moving from one side to the other, and some people moving from the other side to the other side, and it's like, you know, we're not, I don't think anybody, in that middle ground, which is like the deciding group, are just very confused, and that's what's causing the indecision.
Yeah, I don't want to go back to joining the EU again. I know we're not out of it yet, but I definitely don't want to go back there. It's we're paying a lot of money. It's an uneven system. It's, you know, it's propping up a lot of sort of greed and expenses. It's inefficient. They're telling us what to do. Mm. I think we have enough innovation, enough business brain to stand on our own. We've done it for years and years and years, and we can still have people coming in and out. That's fine. You know, we need people for the economy. We do need immigration. We need that. It's all fine. What's this? Mm. We just want to be in control of our country. That's all, and our economy.
But I'm not going back over this because we talked about this 2 years ago. But my point then still remains is that I agree with you totally, but. Why didn't we just do that from within the EU?
You can't do it from within. You still have to pay
We could have tried.
You still have to pay lots of money.
We could have tried.
No, you can't, because you've been voted down by 27 other countries. No, you can't do it from within.
It's about getting support and trying to. No, we didn't ever try. We didn't try. We just tried. We threw our toys out the pram.
I'll be the referee here and say, move on.
Okay, listen, and one more thing, and the fact remains is, 10 years ago, 55% of export business, they had the European Union. Now, it's 44%, dropped by 11%, and it's dropping as well. And if we get into a customs union, all that stuff with the EU, we can't do free trade deals with other bigger countries that are emerging, bigger economies are emerging, so we're tied to the EU. And we don't want to be tied down, we're free! Let the wind blow through our hairs, let's run to the meadow naked and say, yes, come and trade with us, guys! We've got everything, guys!
You can do that by yourself. The other fact that remains is that your vote to leave was counted out by my vote to remain. So
I voted to remain. So
going on that concept, work that one out. You lost, but you two voted to remain. How does that work then, Pete?
That's irrelevant to my point.
It's not
my
irrelevant, Pete. No, Pete.
My point for all your, humpity dumpity uppity duppity, shouting, getting red in the face, telling us all why we should leave. It's all completely nonsense because we are
leaving. I didn't have to do it. We're leaving.
But your vote was cancelled by mine. So
leaving on a jet plane. It'll be taxed because not in the EU customs union. All right.
Exactly. And
talking about that, Trump is an imbecile. If you listen to this.
That we agree.
Well, why is he an imbecile? Do you like him, Steve? I know you got the same hairstyle, but do you like him?
Well, no, I'm just shocked that you've only just come to this conclusion.
Oh, no. He's now doing importing trade tariffs. Now, I had, and you'll hear on Monday, a Russ Mould, investment director of stockbroker AJ Bell, on the podcast, and he was talking about the last time we had a trade war, global trade war, tariff war, and it doesn't bode well. Literally, we're going to head into recession if it happens. And that's what he's done. He's hiked up, import of steel, I think, aluminium, by 25% or something like that. And EU, Canada and Far East are not happy. And it may, spark tit-for-tat war and bring the whole globe down. He's an imbecile. Considering he's a man of business, not very good business, if you look at his past record, apparently something didn't work out. If he put all the money he inherited into a bank... and he'd have more by now than he has because he had several bankruptcies. But for a man of business, he's obviously not looking at history and thinking this doesn't make economic sense. It's going to end up, and if anything, the Dow fell by about 400 points on it. That Far East Asia fell by about several months, 2% Nikkei did. So this is not good. This is not good at all. So this is quite scary.
He is an absolute nightmare, isn't he, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
all fronts.
I am very clever. I mean, he called himself a genius, didn't he? I mean, geniuses do not call themselves
genius.
I know.
I'm a genius then, in that case.
Yeah, it belongs in a stable.
Yeah.
Oh dear, no, he's frustrating, isn't he? He's incredibly
do you
insane.
Reckon he'll survive the full 8 years, though?
Well, he wants to run again. I thought he'd have enough by now. I thought he would have enough, but he wants to run again.
Can I just say it's 4 years, not eight?
Yeah,
but
Steve.
No, it's 4 years, then another 4 years. 8 years.
If he's he's going to run in 2020. He's going to run again, he said. Yeah. He's going to run again. Well, he's going to be re-elected, Steve.
Yeah, but you can only run 8 years, so I'm saying, will he run for the 8 years?
He can't run 100 yards in 8 years.
And I'm hoping he's out in 2 years' time, yeah.
I would like to see Michelle Obama. I would like to see Michelle Obama. I think she'd be very good. I quite like her, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to date her a while back.
Fine. I just found that other guy.
I don't know, that was in my mind. I like a Michelle Obama or something. I do like her.
Right.
I like her a lot, you know what I'm saying? All right, let's move on to stocks. Still, what's annoying me, just starting off, BT's annoying me a little bit. It's going up, it's coming down. It's off the bottom there, but it's going up. So annoying, isn't it? And we have some good news, right? And then we find out that someone else now is going to jump into the 5G spectrum bidding war. So another company, a big company for us. They're all brilliant. That's all we need now. More bad good news. But we did have sort of good news. What was the news that came out? What was it recently about BT? Oh, the Ofcom thing. Was there anything else?
Oh, yeah. What's the 5G thing? I've not heard that.
Football rights. Well, there's 5G coming up. We've got 4G, 5G.
Yeah.
We'll just skip 10G. It doesn't matter if it's messing around with those 4Gs, 5Gs. Because it's got straight 10G. You know, really. And, so obviously you have to bid, you know, for your bit of the spectrum. It's like FM, it's like frequencies, isn't it? So you bid for a certain bit of it. And apparently there was going to be Vodafone, BT, some others, you know, obviously. But then other companies just... virtual operators, they rent some off they use BTs or Vodafone's, but someone else has come into the fray. I can't think who it is, another big player, which is annoying because obviously it'll push prices up, be more competitive, cost more. But but we've had most of the bad news from BT. We've had Ofcom results. We've had that's fine, that the way now they know how much they're going to pay. And we've had the pensions have slowly been sorted out. They've had the results out. And what else? The football rights. Yeah, that football came in less than we expected. So we should be turning, you know, a corner here. But every time there's good news, there's bad news that comes along, which is very annoying. Very annoying indeed. But anyway, is there any stocks you want to chat about, guys? I know, Steve, you're always doing a lot of research, head in the books. Look at the RNSs non-stop.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. By the way, did you see on Friday a lot of RNSs about brokers? Steve,
yes.
Re-broker. Yeah, yeah.
What Steve, was that about?
Did you see that, Steve?
No.
It's good you're up on it, Steve. How big is your watch list, Steve?
It's average, but I forget to watch it.
He's got two watches.
It's average. What is average? I've never, how can it be average?
An average watch list.
It's an average watch list. It's not exceptional. It's not exceptionally long or short. It's just average length, really.
Steve, do you have the Vox Markets app on your phone?
I do, yes.
But how do you not get those notifications?
Well, no, I get the notifications through, but I'm just such a busy man, and I tend to not get around to sometimes reading them.
Sometimes, Steve, is so busy, you can stare at the wall for an hour and a half, non-stop.
That's why I don't read your emails, because I'm just busy.
You're not busy, Steve. You're just looking at things you shouldn't be looking at.
I'm seeing everyone else having snow days. I can see the children in the street on their sleighs, and I'm stuck in the studio editing.
What are you going to do? Yeah, a single man joining the children in snow days? That does not look good, Steve. To be honest with you. Come on, children. Let's go. I mean, I would be concerned as a parent if a single man of 37 to 38 years of age just joined me in a snowball fight on his own. So where's your children? I haven't got any.
How posh is your street? They're out on sleighs, not sledges.
Well, yep, sledges.
Still on sleighs, are they?
Yeah. I don't mean sleigh and a sledge. What's the difference then?
Well, yes.
Yeah, I think Santa had a sleigh, didn't he?
Yeah, my kid's been out. It's so cold. It's not. When I was younger, this is exceptional weather, isn't it? I think because I don't remember being this bitter. I've been out and it's really bitter. And they came. Yeah, and
it's age, and you don't have any hair anymore. That's why.
Yeah,
you're bitter. You're more bitter now.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, but literally came back, and it wasn't. The kids came back, and they were freezing, red face, red hands. They don't care too much. Anyway, what I'm saying is, Steve, the RNS you get, right, is Beaufort Securities, which is a broker, one of the major brokers, really, for small-cap companies. It's gone into administration. And you've got to have a broker legally to be on AIM. The rules are of AIM. And so if you haven't got one, straight away. And so most of the time, it's a joint broker. You know, they've got a joint broker with another broker. But any companies that have just Beaufort as their sole broker have to find another broker as soon as possible. Otherwise, they cannot trade. One of those stocks is Valerix. I mean, I know. Do we own that, all of us?
Yeah.
So Val, good pharmaceutical broker. My broker's died. Yes. Do you know what? My parents at the age where everyone they mention these days are dying. You know, everything they talk about. It's like they're 70 odd. But I went on the last weekend, went for a couple of dog walks. She had the dog with us. My brother's dog was there. And we walked on the thing. And conversations get around the people's names, you know. I don't know what's coming next. They say, Jean Baker. And I know what's coming next. You know? Yes, she's dead. It's like a weekend of that. That's what it is, you know.
It's not the funnest game I've ever played.
No. I know.
Guess the relative that's died.
Yeah. Did you start kind of joining in with Freddie Mercury? You know Freddie Mercury? Dead. George Michaels? Yeah. Dead.
No.
Nothing?
Right. Yeah, God, George would be loving it now in his last Christmas song, wouldn't he?
I know, but do you know what? Anyway, it's like that. That's what happened to Val and Beaufort. Beaufort's died, and Val's got to find a new broker. So, but it shouldn't be a problem, you know. I mean, brokers, essentially, what brokers do is arrange placings and finance and funding, you know. It's a lot of coin in it for them. There's a lot of money in it for them. So, essentially, if you're a non-revenue generating company, you know, a loss-making company, pre-revenue pretty much, you have to raise funds somehow. And so you are money to them. So it shouldn't be hard, you know.
But how does it affect... So why is Beaufort gone into administration?
They were very questioned. I can't say anything about it, but a lot of people, they were warned before by the FCA for activities. And to be honest, some of Beaufort's placings were, you know, not welcomed by the market generally, of high discount, issued to people who had no interest in the company, would flip the stock for 10%, you know, so it was, their placings weren't of high quality generally, but they've been warned before. But they've had their problems, basically, and I think, I don't know, you can read about it, but I can't be bothered, really, you know, it's not the most interesting part of the market, is it? But, so there's a bit of volatility on the thing. Any stocks you want to chat about, guys? Any stocks at all you want to chat about? Anything at all?
I've had a bit of a distracted week, I haven't really been following it. there's nothing that's really caught my eye this week. Is that okay?
Well, I tell you what should have caught your eye. Did you see Tony?
Asia Mets obviously was good.
Tony the Manini. I can't even believe my father's been just... I went down there the weekend, like I said, he's telling me more stocks he sold. Just said, Dad, give me a call. I started telling him off. It felt like he was an 8-year-old and I was his father. I was his father telling him off. I mean, even my mother said that. He said, you look like a naughty schoolboy. I said, Tony, nice. So he sold Asia Met. That stock, I think my brother has as well. I said, what are you doing?
They didn't sold all of it.
Yeah, they didn't realise. Right? Listen to this now. They didn't realise. I bought Asia Met for them at about 1.2 pence, yeah? And so it 10 bagged for them. Now, they didn't look at their broker account at all in that time, you know? So they were doing very well without them interfering whatsoever, right? Very well. They couldn't have done better. You know, 10 bagged.
Didn't de-risk, didn't do anything, just left it.
Just left it. And they looked at it, and all of a sudden they got really into shares then. And now they're buying and selling like crazy. And they haven't earned any more money, pretty much. And they've earned less money. And I said to them, so I picked that stock that created you 10 bag, created your wealth. And now you're selling like you know what you're doing. And now you're losing money. You want to get back into Asia Met? I said, on a day it's up. I said, Dad, a tip. You know, if you know a good company and you know about it, which he doesn't really. But, you know, buy on a down day, sell on an up day. But he's out of Asia Met. And Asia Met, I think, will go on. I mean, Tony was on the podcast this week. And he's a good talker, Tony. Tony Manini, you know what I'm saying? Look, right? And he was saying, he's got the assets and the team to back it up. But he said it will be a $1 billion company. That's what he wants to do. And they had the assets to do that. And I do believe he can do that. If he doesn't do it himself, it'll be taken on by someone else who will buy him out probably. Because the copper is, you know, is going gangbusters, and it will for
but
several years.
$1 billion, that's 10 bag from here, isn't it?
Yes. So it could be 100 bag of this company. I'm not big enough doing research, everyone. You know,
is that a ramp there?
The
slight ramp.
Listen, I own this
dog. Could be 100 bag, everybody.
What I'm saying is that they've got the assets to do it, you know. Between now and then doing it is a lot different thing. They've got the assets and the team that have the experience to do it, because they've done it before, you know. But you know, so they've sold it short, definitely. But I'd not say it could be 100 bag. I mean, who knows? Asia Met, it's one of those. What I'm saying is, I said to my father, listen, winners keep winning, you know. When you've got a good team, good assets, they will perform, full stop, you know. So it's just annoying that they've sold that, and they really, and people do that a lot. I see people selling stocks out. Pete, you know, they used to work with me, and you, Steve, what's his name? Pete. Well, I told him, I text him every now and again. He's getting stocks and shares as well. I text him every now and again some stocks, and he texted me back recently. Going to i3e, right, which is a good stock. You know, good team. They've done it before. And did he said to me today? He said, "Hey, bud, how's things? Just sold i3e. Looks like they're correcting." I said, "You should have topped up." I've gone back with, and he said, "I will. Looks like it's going to be a 14% correction."
Wow.
And then he went, or maybe not. And he said, only down 3% now. And I said, 14%? If you know that, you'd be Warren Buffett. I said, this is a compelling mid to long term story. The reason they're down today is released an RNS about a loan note conversion, which is going through the system. He said, maybe be a little bit hasty. I said, listen, they'll be producing around 10,000 barrels of oil per day. Even with $10 profit, which will be more than that because their margin is about $24 per barrel, that's 36 million profit per year. They could be valued 10 times that, i.e., $360 million. Now, they won't be because they'll farm out some of that. But I said, they're only a 40 million market cap. Can you see the upside potential here? And he didn't reply. So it's like people worry. My father sold Val, sold Tertiary Minerals, because he said he was coming back. He was looking at his portfolio, looking at his online account, and seeing how much he used to have and how much he's got now, and then he sells. And they oh, no, I had some profit in that and sell. I said, but what about the longer term story here, where you know you're short selling this, you're selling it down too early? So, well, I don't know, but I used to have this and now I've got this, I'm selling it. So, but what do you know about the company? And he doesn't know anything. Yeah. So no. If you're constantly looking at the profit margin, the profit you made, and it going away, and selling out a good stock, that's like, you know, house prices go up and down. Okay, they're less liquid. You don't see that, though. But if you knew if the little house price ticked down a little bit and panicked, you wouldn't sell your house, would you, surely? You know, it's ridiculous.
I think what I would say about him and probably your brother, maybe Pete as well, is that I don't think they've been burnt by anything. So they just see... They don't see downside, or they say, oh, I see some potential downside. But for me, it's like if you've got a winner like that, you've got to back your winners, and you've got to maximize profit out of your winners, because you will have ones that will burn you. And to make up for those losses, you've got to have and let those winners run and get, you know, if they've got 10 bag potential, you've got to let it go, not sell out too soon, is my opinion.
So here's a question for you with i3e, because I only put a little bit in there. I know it's pulled back a little bit, hasn't it, over the last few weeks. At what point would you think it'd be a good time to kind of scale in and average down on that? Well, actually, no, I'm up on it. Actually, it's not average.
Average up
is good, though. Average up is good. I mean, you know, i3e. Let's go to the charts, boys. Let's go over the charts. Let's move over to the charts. I'm using TradingView for this. Thank you, TradingView, because they did give me a sort of a pro account, because I'm a pro. You know,
no,
I'm not actually. But yeah, but in fact, Nicola Duke looked at this and she said 50 pence is a nice figure. I said, it is, isn't it? That's as simple as it gets. Yeah, but they're 58.8 here. But I think around about this level, if you look today, they've had a bit of a candle down. They've had a loan conversion, right, where they've got 2 million left. They converted 500,000 there, so 2 million left to convert. So it'll be a bit of volatility. But I think, you know, looking at the potential upside, again, you know, scale in. Again, another rule, scale in, everyone. Don't buy a big chunk and go nuts on it. But you're not in this, Pete, are you?
No.
Do your own research. I'll just send the presentation over to you. And
yeah, that'd be excellent.
Do your own research. A good presentation, and very, but it, no, potential is huge. I think, you know, and that kind of barrelage, 10,000 barrels per day, that is nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
So it's worth looking at that, and yeah, but I think, you know, some people look for round figures, but sometimes they don't quite get there, and that's what people hang out for, is that round figure. And doesn't quite get there. So, and also, you imagine if you've got to be ahead of the game sometimes, isn't you? Psychologically, there may be quite a few people going placing an order at 50p. You know, just because it's a nice figure. You know, you can get two shares for £1. Like, that's just a nice figure. Now, get ahead of the curve there. Think, hang on, let me go odd here. Let me place an order at 50.75. You know. And because the amount of times I put an order in a round number, it doesn't get filled. Do you remember that's that'll have to be the offer will have to be that, you know, not the mid, the offer, the ask price will have to be that. So the mid will be below that. So if you go up a little bit, you know, I always try not to do an exact round thing. I always go just before it, just in case, you know, because that's what that's what the world is thinking. Let's go in the 50p. But yeah. What? Just be ahead of the curve a little bit. Let's go 51 maybe. And because you know,
yeah. Like, the thing is, and I've said this in recent weeks that you know you can't be in everything, can you? And I'm looking at my portfolio; it's kind of growing all the time. And a few weeks ago, I was like, right, I must try and trim. I want to trim down, have some good solid, you know, maybe have 10 or 12 really good solid stocks that I'm really focusing on. And I'm still at about 20 stocks, and some of those are completely de-risked, and I think I'll just own forever. But others, I sort of think, well, should I sell out of that one? Because is that got as much potential as I3E, for example, or whatever, you know, should I get rid of this one and get into I3E, you know, even if it means selling at a slight loss? I don't know. It's hard, isn't it? It's difficult to know how I should...
Make sure you hold on to your Teapot there, Peter, your minus 99.24%.
Yeah, no, I do love Teapot. I'm never going to sell Teapot.
No, it's like a little souvenir, isn't it?
I'm 99.22% down in that one.
Yeah. So
I'm quite happy about that.
Well, do you know what? I literally sold out of that, and then, you know, because I realised it's the same old thing, though. And there's a fine line, you know. Winners keep on winning, losers keep on losing, you know? And when you realise someone's a loser, just get out. Yeah. Get out of it. And I'll take a loss. I've taken several losses on lots of stuff, you know. And it's cost me, you know. It's cost me. And I just think, sorry. I prefer to, like you said, I prefer to allocate that capital elsewhere more efficiently in a company that I think is going to do well. And do you know one other thing that's annoying me? Is small revenue companies, they're always let... I've mentioned loads of times, you know, don't always look for revenue and profits. That isn't where the big money's earned most of the time. It's hype, hope, potential. You know, that's the hype, hope, potential of earning big revenue. When you actually to realise that revenue, it becomes harder then. And when you miss sometimes, it gets knocked. And Teapot's in a very... in a competitive area with big guys with deep pockets, and I realised that. And when their forecast income comes through and their cash burn was still very high. Same with, have you seen what's it at the moment? Coove went down on Thursday by 51%, right?
Wow.
And it jumped on Friday by 39%. But literally, they you know, their growth figures weren't as good in the last time, and then they blamed lots of things like India banning these notes and stuff. But their growth figures weren't as good, but their cash burn is still horrendous. And they mentioned the market. Whenever you see this in an RNS, right, beware. If you own a company, right, that mentions anywhere in the title strategic, you know, sort of accelerated plan or anything with strategic something update.
Or trading statement.
Trading statement's fine. That happens all the time.
No, but it's never seems to be good news.
No, that's because you're owning crap companies. But most companies have to do trading statements. They do that because. But strategic proposal or anything strategic, right? You don't do that because you're doing well. You know, you only do that because something's going wrong. Because realignment, anything that's strategic. So basically, part of the business not going well, they have to get it sorted. Otherwise, they're down the tubes. And so Coove came out yesterday with strategic acceleration plan on Thursday. And in that, they mentioned that they obviously they fluffed it up, but the sales weren't as good. They weren't as performing as well. They're a bit flat, to be honest. And they also, by the way, need another £50 million. I thought, what? Wow. 50 million? Now you're 11 million market cap. You need 50 million. And it's not the first time they've done this, you know. So you know, you can see that went down by 50% yesterday. And then it's up by, I'm looking at the, on Friday, I'm looking at...
I haven't looked at Q's for a long time. And I remember you, I never got into it. I remember you talking about it when it was like 15p. And then it, over months, went up to almost 70, 75p. And then, wow, I didn't realise it's come all the way back down to like 6p now. That's
nuts. And,
blimey.
Be surprised if it's a turnaround here. But yes, but and one annoying thing as well, Feedback had some results out. Are you into your own Feedback?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's one of those ones I sort of think, is that the best use of my capital there? Am I better at pulling it out and going into something like IPE?
Now, listen, I did look at Feedback, and there's a couple of things you should look at. And first and foremost, they did sign some deals halfway through last year, distributed deals in Korea and South Korea and China. And if you look in the statement, and also, you know, the fact is they've just taken on another a brand new CEO, which it didn't have, and they needed a small team. They needed a CEO. CEO has, you know, track record, very good track record by the looks of it. He's written also books on turning around companies. But they do say the release. Notably, we've seen an increase in purchase orders of Texrad from leading medical institutions in South Korea, and we are receiving significant interest in China, underpinned by exclusive distributor agreements signed during the period. We anticipate the benefits of these agreements will be seen in the full financial year. So even though the revenue's up by 20%, it wasn't a lot, it wasn't amazing, but there's a long time lead time between research testing, and now they have a CE mark. They can now sell it in clinical, you know, in commercial use. So I think we should see sales increase now over the next... Because obviously these results they had out was, you know, results to the end of... 6 months to the end of 30th of November. So that's, you know, that's like 3 months, isn't it? 3 months gone, obviously. Over December, January, February. Yeah, 3 months, so that's 3 months ago. So that's historic results. You know?
Here's a question, and this is about portfolio management, isn't it? Right. So say I've got the same amount of money I've put into Feedback, and I'm now 20-something percent down. Based on what you've just said, the results and the future there, do I put that money, so I've got exactly the same amount of money, do I average down now in Feedback, or do I just go, okay, let's see how that runs, and put that money into i3e instead?
Oh, very good question, Peter.
That's the kind of thing, isn't it? This podcast will kind of relate to, because it's like, well, do you average out and hope that turns around, or, you know, that recovers and is actually a good long-term story, or do you kind of just hedge your bets and go into something new?
Ideally, you know, you could do a bit of both, because the different parts of the different sectors, so you are diversifying a little. One's oil and gas, one's tech, medical tech. And I do like medical tech and oil and gas. But listen, we've got a problem at the moment with Trevor Brown selling down, you know what I'm saying? So ex-director, he's still selling shares and now a heck of a lot of downward pressure. And this is like a convertible loan note, pretty much, you know, that the pressure. So I think once Trevor's cleared and we get some decent news in Feedback, it could fly. You know, I'm involved in it. People listening, don't get involved, because I've said this. I may be absolutely wrong. I'm talking nonsense. You know, I'm just saying this is I'm talking about my own book here. But what I'm saying is, you have got downward pressure. If you look at the amount now, Trevor sold, my last blog, I said he'd sold about £500,000 worth of stock in a small cap company. It's a lot of pressure over those 6 months. And it's like whenever there's a bit of liquidity there, whenever it starts to make a rise, all of a sudden, Trevor Brown selling down, you know? So, but like I said, if you read through the interim, it's not long, just read through, just pick up on the lines that you think look good, you know, look at forward looking. And I think there's positives in there, like the new CEO, the sales and distributor agreement things they've signed, and not in this half year because it's too early yet. These are historical figures. So I think improvement should be coming through. And if, you know, you put that together with Trevor stopping selling, then we've probably, I think, you know, we could see a bounce here. It's only a $3.5 million market cap company now. Now, you look at that with i3e, you know, it's three times, four times the size, but still has a lot of potential. Both of them have potential. I like both of them, you know. I wouldn't sell my Feedback.
Yeah, but my question is that conundrum, isn't it, that you face, whether you average down in a stock to get yourself in a better position, a bigger and better position, hopefully, in one stock, or you hedge your bets and you don't average down.
Put it this way.
Yeah.
In my sea of cash, my acronym is KASSH. So it's two C's actually. ASSH. The first C is for capitalization, market cap, size of a company. You know. Now, what could double faster? A 3.5 million market cap, or 15 million market cap. And obviously, you can question again, depends on the potential each one of those companies have. But considering i3e has risen quite a bit, okay, it's come back a little bit now. It was 78 pence, now it's done. Where was it by? Is it 78 pence? Now it's at 58 pence. So it's come back a bit, but it's still, it's gone from 25 pence to get there. And yet, feedback's the other way around. It's been pushed down, 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 down. Then you that's also another dynamic. I'm not going to make the decision for you, but you know what I'm saying? You'd also, you know, I want to see that. It's time here. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It's hard. You know, that's why I own both.
Yeah. Thanks for your help.
Yeah,
no, it's interesting. It's.
I'm annoyed with. I know I'm banged on about it, but it, I think that things like FCR and ACP, Ferrum Crescent and AVA, it's like FCR, it took a bit of a knock, you know, of late. No news out. But they've got a joke resource. Now you've got to look at companies like this, you know. I think this is a company that could get bought out for 10 million, and within the blink of an eye, quite easily. The zinc, you know, sort of asset they have in Spain, in a friendly mining jurisdiction, first world country, you know, and yet that's four times the size of the company, and that's even then, that's still mightily undervalued compared to their peers, you know, absolutely undervalued. But I think, and it's one of the stocks that are out of favour. This is when you do your research and you scale in slowly, you know, because when this turns around, it'll turn around fast. And someone said, oh, well, need a placing. Yeah, but the thing is, companies don't do a placing when they've been hammered down. They will try and, you know, release good news first. And so they'll, you know, almost push this, almost maybe expand this joke resource maybe first, or do something, or, you know, and off the rise, they'll try and raise. So, but it's one of those companies that could gap up. And you'd miss that entry point, you know. So that's why you said almost was scaling in those companies with a big asset underpinning their sort of their valuation here. So it's a bit frustrating.
Are you in that one, Steve?
Yeah. I'm in the mall.
What do you say? He's in a mall. He's in every company on the exchange.
Mm.
Are you not in that one, Pete?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm down in that one at the moment now.
I'm down in that. Yeah, and I've scaled in a bit more as well. And part of it, I mean, I'm getting towards my limit on a 10% exposure. And I'm thinking, you know. But part of me thinks I know the way it goes. It's kind of coming. Once you start, you know, trying to get out of that, they fly. You know, these kind of small cap companies with big assets. But listen. Do you remember what happened to tertiary minerals? I'll compare it to that. Tertiary minerals had, you know, $3 billion or close to $4 billion of floor spar in the ground. FCR have, you know, over $3 billion worth of zinc, lead, and silver in the ground. And these are widely used commodities. You know, it's not floor spar. Floor spar is not as widely used. And the only thing that made tertiary fly was that connection with that commodities trading company. All you need is a bit of news like that. And you're seeing flying, you know, it'll fly, you know, because they've got the asset there to make it fly. It's 2.5 million market cap. It's nuts. It's nuts at the level.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm enthusiastic about it. I own it. Don't back people. I've had a lot of people saying, one person had a go at me this week saying I'm ramping my own stocks on the weekend podcast. Yes, the amounts are, do not buy anything I own. I'm lying about all of them. Everything I tell you about them, I'm lying about them. Do your own research on your own stocks and crack on. But yeah, so of course, you know, I speak with enthusiasm because I own them. It's like your football team, isn't it? You know, you're enthusiastic about your football team because you support them. That's what it's about. And
it would be weird if you started ramping stocks that are rubbish.
Well, yeah.
Again,
well, someone would say some of my stocks are rubbish, but I just see them. You know, I see. And did you read my blog, Steve, on Armadale Capital? I bet you did.
No, I didn't. No, I'll just check which one I read. No, I didn't read that one. No.
Thanks for that. Well, Armadale Capital is I like it because, again, a big asset. They've got you know, graphite, a major player in EV, and one of their peers, which is right next to them, one of their peers is valued at 20 million market cap, right? And now they have a resource three times as small as Armadale Capital. So it's valued at 20 million, right? They've just done a bankable feasibility study, and they call it Kiberon Resources. And the NPV, the net present value, 10, is at $211 million. So, you know, that's basically, you know, assets minus costs. You know, that's what it costs to get up running, all that stuff. That's how much it's worth. So, you know, and yet, you know, you can times that by three for Armadale Capital, and their market cap is 5.2 million. So, you know, you think these kind of assets are undervalued, and it's a hot commodity. It'll be in demand, you know. It's 30 times more graphite in a lithium-ion battery than lithium. And why they call lithium-ion, I have no idea, but even, you know, Elon Musk said it's more graphite and nickel in there. It's just a salt on the salad, lithium is. Not a lot in there, but the graphite. So you know, you sit and wait with this kind of company, and they are getting, like, they are doing things. They've got Joke Resource. They've said several times in their releases, end of Q1, they will have the scoping study out, which will be metallurgical tests and all this stuff to show that the you know, the economics around the project. So they are developing it. Same with Ferrum Crescent. You have to wait because it's not a little bit of news, but they are expanding. It's going somewhere.
The other thing with graphite is tennis rackets.
Yeah, and pencils. I know Steve uses a lot of pencils. He's really into pencils. He doesn't like pens. Don't like them at all.
Well, you can't rub them out, can you?
Exactly. Well, you can. That Paper Mate one, remember that one?
Yeah.
Do you remember Paper Mate? Is that still around?
Probably.
Is it called Paper Mate, Steve? Do you know what Paper Mate is?
It rings a bell. We can't say I'm an expert on the subject.
I like you very much. Okay. All right. Anything else, lads, worth looking at? Chatting about?
No, I don't think so.
Tertiary, United Oil and Gas, it's been a rough couple of weeks, isn't it? Stock market's been down. It has been down.
Yeah.
Taking a bit of a battering. But, you know, this is where newbies sell out and lose confidence in the stories.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't sell out. If anything, like I said, if you'd done well, scaled in, you'd have a bit of cash there maybe, and you'd scale a bit more now, knowing the story. Nothing's changed. The overall market's down a little bit. Yes, fine. And scale in a little bit. But
that's all I've been doing recently, is scaling in on the losses. I'm taking your advice, see?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that, Steve. It went for global downturn.
Oh, yeah.
Scaling in on the losses.
We're going for a recession now next couple of years. I get into cash as much as possible. Did you not read my email last weekend? Oh, you didn't read that? Okay. Yeah, I'm fully in cash, no stocks. I've got no stocks whatsoever. I'm fully out. I've sold everything. I panicked. sell. I don't care how much
you're joking, everybody.
Yeah. As long as Trump's tariff war didn't start happen, but the fool, what he is, stupid man.
He's just I'm not going to start. He's absolutely insane. But the thing that really annoys me is he's so unintelligent. Like I'd love to do his IQ test. His IQ test would be like sub average, I think, wouldn't it? It'd be like unbelievable.
He's a genius.
His grasp of concepts, his grasp of common sense and language is just diabolical.
No, he said he's like really smart and a very stable genius. I'm like really smart.
I know when he says that, you've got to contradict that a little bit, haven't you?
Yeah.
What did he say about talking about the guns, and how he described having staff.
He said that. I don't know about you, but I got in there with no gun. I just got in there with no gun.
I wish he had.
I wish he'd had. This is a guy who avoided going to war, a subscription in Vietnam twice or three times. He avoided it. He just made excuses up. So he didn't go to war to support his country. He's absolute liar. Full down liar. And the thing is, we've got a gun problem in the US. What'll solve that? More guns? Yeah, more guns. More guns. Just get some fire. Just put more fire on. We can get more. Get the fire higher. If you put lots of petrol on it, put loads of petrol on there, and it'll go. The fire will. Yeah. That's the way to do it. Just keep doing it. Just pour petrol. I better go because the missus is calling me like crazy, and I know she's having stress with the kids because they've had a snow day and it hasn't turned out well.
And on that note, good night.
All right, don't forget, listen, gentlemen, please do your own research. Don't take tips off this podcast. You know, we may not... Everything we talk about may be highly inaccurate and full of lies and deceit.
Except Steve.
Yeah, Steve's the only one that's fully researched here.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Guys, have a nice weekend.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit MyFreeStyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.